Radio Prague News.
The process of establishing a caretaker government has run into problems after the country's political leaders criticised the interim Prime Minister's choice of candidates. The Czech health authorities on Friday ruled out another suspected case of swine flu. 20 more people are being tested. And 4 Czech military fighter jets have started policing the airspace of the Baltic countries within a NATO security operation due to last until September. The process of establishing a caretaker government has run into problems after the interim Prime Minister Jan Fischer unexpectedly put forward his own candidates for several ministerial posts. Mr. Fischer was selected for the post of interim Prime Minister under an agreement between the two strongest parties in Parliament, who expected to push through their own candidates for various ministerial posts. The list of candidates which Mr. Fischer presented to President Václav Klaus on Friday includes several unexpected names, the most controversial of which appears to be the nominee for Finance Minister Jaroslav Míl. The outgoing Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said he was surprised by the move and indicated that the proposed lineup would not win a vote of confidence in Parliament. Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek likewise criticised the move, saying he expected further negotiations. President Klaus has not commented on the development. The Fischer cabinet was expected to take over on May the 8th and lead the country to early elections in October. It is not clear if this unexpected hurdle will delay its appointment. The Czech health authorities on Friday ruled out another suspected case of swine flu. 20 more people are being tested. The authorities have tightened security measures at Prague's Ruzyně Airport, and people arriving from Mexico now have to undergo thermal screening before being allowed to enter the country. In a related development, EU health ministers on Thursday rejected a French call to suspend EU flights to Mexico, leaving it up to individual member states to decide on whether or not to introduce restrictive measures. Czech Health Minister Daniela Filipiová, whose country holds the rotating presidency of the 27-member bloc, said she had not seen a dramatic attitude by any EU country and considered the EU to be well prepared for a possible pandemic. 4 Czech military fighter jets have started policing the airspace of the Baltic countries within a NATO security operation due to last until September. The 4 Gripen planes will police the airspace of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania, who do not have the means to protect their airspace and rely on NATO allies for assistance. In September, the Czech Gripens will be replaced by Danish F-16 fighter jets. This is the first time that the Czech Republic's Air Force has been deployed in a foreign operation since the end of World War II. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days are expected to be partly cloudy with intervals of rain and shine and day temperatures between 19 and 23 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Welcome to our special program about the current situation of the Romani community in the Czech Republic. The Romanis, or Roma, are the country's biggest minority, estimated to number some 300,000 people. Relations between the Roma and the majority population have long been troubled, but recently they took a turn for the worse. The community is outraged by the rise in extremism. Nearly 2 weeks ago, there was a vicious arson attack against a Romani family in their home in North Moravia, in which 5 were injured and a 2-year-old girl suffered severe burns on 80% of her body. Neo-Nazi marches have also been held ever more frequently around the country. The last one was held this past Saturday in a North Bohemian town. For the first time ever, Romani NGOs are organizing a nationwide protest against extremism that will take place this Sunday. to discuss the causes of the current situation and the outlook of the Romani minority in the Czech Republic, I am joined in the studio by Gabriela Hrabáňová, the head of the Government's Council on Romani Issues, sociologist Ivan Gabal, and Kateřina Hruba, who works for the NGO Zvůle práva, that focuses on protection against discrimination. Thank you all for coming. The situation does sound dramatic. Mr. Gabal, what is happening?
Well, we shifted from the period when the problem of Roma community was more or less marginalized, and we moved toward conflict, rather ethnic conflict, between really sort of extreme right-wing or neo-Nazi movements and Roma community or Roma enclaves of social exclusion, concentrated mainly in northern Bohemia regions and northern Moravia regions. And it has to be said that all of a sudden we had not only extremist movement related to German or overseas similar organization, but as well as we have a political wing having strong political ambitions to get into Czech and European Parliament as an extreme right wing. And obviously these political goals are heating interest into the conflict. Last but not least, it has to be said that long time unresolved problem of Roma excluded communities frustrated a lot of people living in the neighborhood of these communities, and this is probably largest area of supporters for extreme right political movements.
So would you agree that what we're seeing is in fact two phenomena? One is the situation of the Romani community, and the other is a rise in the extremist movement as such. Ms. Hrabáňová, would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree, since, as was said, that the situation of Roma and their integration was underestimated, and that the exclusion of Roma, it's in fact calling the attention of the people outside. And I think that that's actually the point where these extremist parties, and especially now during the economical crisis, they are getting the support for their right-wing ideas, and unfortunately they are also receiving the support from the general public.
This year will mark the 20th anniversary of the fall of communism. When you look at the Romani community itself, do you see any developments there when you compare the state of the community now and the state of the community 20 years ago?
That is for sure different situation. 20 years ago, Roma were also part of this democratical movement, and they were part of the process of bringing the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia towards democracy. So they were part of the system, and they were also politically involved, and they were contributing to the system as such. And during the years, we can see that Roma moved more to the non-governmental side. And now with the European Union, we see a bit of decline.
The Romanis don't seem to have been able to create some kind of or establish some kind of body that would represent them, some kind of respected organization, umbrella organization that would represent them in relation to the state and to the majority population, really. Mr. Gabal, what do you think that is?
What was mentioned at the very beginning, there were several, I think around 8 up to 15 Roma MPs in federal Czechoslovak body and in both national councils. And there was clear intention to organize themselves. But later on, economic transition took upper hand from my point of view. And what Czechoslovakia, later Czech Republic, went through was basically large-scale restructuring of economy, diminishing unqualified labor opportunities, hitting heavily former heavy industry regions, and basically pushing up importance of individual performance, higher education, and just ability to compete on open labor market. In all these aspects, number of employment opportunities declined for non-qualified Roma workers. Their educational insufficiency brought them basically or declined their opportunities for new jobs, and their competitiveness on a labor market was lower It has to be said that communist Czechoslovakia had compulsory employment, so everybody had to be employed, including everybody out from Roma community, and all of a sudden this compulsory employment was gone, and there was a free labor market. So currently we see basically not only enclaves with having 80 up to 90% of unemployed Roma people, but we see a new generation being born into a situation where nobody works in their family. And basically, it's a social devastation connected to certain ethnic group. So the point is that if we completed this transition, now we have to care much more about cohesion of society and about those who were unsuccessful in this move. This is not unknown task. What is unknown, that market is not going to solve this problem by itself. So we need strong new government policies.
How has the Czech population or the majority population changed in viewing Roma? There's been recurring polls, opinion polls, that always show or has been showing that very few Czechs would like Roma as neighbors, for example, and that hasn't changed much. Has the majority population changed at all when you look at their relation to the Romanies?
Well, I think that in general the situation is worse. I think that the level of open or latent racism in the Czech society is still very high. But what I see during my work in last 5 years is that the situation of Romani families is distinctively going worse. That their situation in the area of housing, education, problem with financial debts and with systemic discrimination from the part of state authorities is still going higher and higher.
One great concern that has changed, at least technically, has been the education. Under much pressure, the Czech Republic abolished in 2006 what was known as special schools, and that is schools designed for incapacitated children, where Romani children were often sent just on the basis of their origin. Has the change helped at all?
Well, I think that that there were Roma kids being pushed from regular elementary schooling system without any agreement of their families and as a clear act of discrimination. And this finding and this result brought a large attention to the educational system in Czech Republic as far as inequalities of Roma girls and boys. And I have to say that recently Czech government invested into large-scale measurement of inequalities of educational chances, and we did this comparison, and the result is really tough. In general, to say Roma girls and boys do have only 50% chances to accomplish elementary schooling with their classmates they started with in first grade. So we see really a deep distinction in chances, deep inequalities. So what we see is our future, and the future is that we see another generation without high school education or higher qualification. And this is something where Czech society in general, I would say, expect large change to be brought in. If there is, and there is, general hope.
I would like to react to this, if possible. I would dare to disagree with Mr. Gabal in some points, because in our opinion, still many Roma children end up in schools with special education program. It means in schools for mentally disabled children without the proper reason for this. The consent of the parents cannot be formal. It must be informed consent. And in many cases, parents give their consent, but in reality do not know what does it mean for the school career of their child. And also, I think that the consent of the parent became some magic formula. It is one of the conditions that the law states for transfer of the child into the special school. And other condition, for example, is the proper examination if psychological center. And we see daily in the field situations where the psychological profile of the child is missing or is very unquality, let's say. For example, it said that the child is slow.
What do you think should be done for the Czechs, for the majority population, so that they see that there is seriously a serious need for change? Mr. Gabal.
What general public needs to see is a proactive, focused and consistent long-term integration policy of government. Basically, we are in this situation when we know the situation, we are able to estimate numbers, needs, money. We know instruments effective enough to be employed, and we just need to launch all these programs. However, what becomes a trouble or where is the shortage is a time factor. We started to talk about extremism in Czech Republic. And basically now we have a visible competition between extremist violent attempts on one side and ineffective, passive and non-acting government. So we need to change these lazy government policies to make them active and to make these extremist calls ineffective. And it has to be said that this is not only the problem of Czech Republic. The situation in Czech Republic, according to knowledge, according to number of people, according to welfare system support for families, and according to situation of schooling system, is comparatively to Slovakia, Romania, Bulgaria or Hungary much better. However, the same conflict, inter-ethnic conflict, is being launched heavily in Hungary. We see difficult troubles for the Roma in Italy. We see basically really very backward situation in Balkan region. So basically, Czech Republic may become a locomotive or a start-up country to launch effective policies. And I'm still optimistic we can do that. But we need to start, and we have a very limited time. In long term, Czech society expects success. General public in Czech Republic is eager to see change, boost of money and investment into schooling system, heavy employment supporting schemes. And if we have politicians able to sell these programs to general public, we can really gain a large scale support. So this is, I would say, all elements for success are available, and we need somebody to pick up these elements and convert them into successful policy.
Well, social exclusion seems to be one of the areas where the extremists are scoring high on many points. What is the problem there? Why are Roma being pushed out of the communities living in excluded areas, in your experience, Ms. Ruba?
What we see in the field is that the municipalities and cities push, expel this unwanted and, as they call them, inadaptable and so on people on the fringe of the cities. So the process of segregation and ghettoization was started in most cases by the cities, and in relation to the extremist activities, it shows that it is very dangerous for the Roma people to be concentrated in these locations, because the neo-Nazi know very well where to go.
Is there a way out of this? We talked about education. Mr. Gabal suggested what the fundamentals of any future policy should be. Mm. How about housing?
As a lawyer, I still believe that the legal measures could be of use. I hope that in a democratic and legally consistent state, the victims should use the law. One of the problems is this, for the most of the Roma, is the law factually inaccessible in the Czech society. So in our organization, we try to solve some strategic cases to reach some important decisions of the court, to show to the Roma people on the one side that it is worse to try to use the law to fight for their rights, and on the other side to show to the state authorities and also to the judicial system that it is absolutely normal that also Roma people go to the court and fight for themselves.
I would agree completely that we did not use legal instruments just to stop mainly municipal bodies to build up a large-scale real estate business out from the devastation of this group and out from poverty, because what we observed is a huge business and economy coming out from poverty on both sides, municipalities as well as Roma organized crime, prostitution, money laundering and all that. And obviously, in the neighborhoods of these huge ghettos, there is a lot of social frustration among those people who are just trying to sustain their ordinary and common life based on income, employment, etc. What we cannot solve by law is the conversion of this frustration into frustrated parliamentary vote for extremists. So basically, we are for sure facing the new situation, having probably extremists well seated in parliament and converting their extremist opinions on solution of this problem into part of parliament policies. So I would say that legal instrument and use of legal instrument is one side of the coin. The other is going to be a political battle for effective implementation of positive and integration policies through the schooling systems, through the employment schemes. This is where, and I'm sorry to say, current government failed completely. They did not deliver their own promises to establish agency for launching these programs. They did not deliver European structural funding schemes for reconstruction of housing systems in this area, and they did not deliver anti-discrimination law, which was basically stopped by part of governing coalition and president. So if we take certain lesson from this failure, then we can move ahead. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind that there is really huge frustrated voters' potential, which is probably going to be capitalized out by extreme political right-wing parties. And this might be a new situation for the Czech environment. It does not mean that we should stop our effort to do it, but we should separate anti-extremist policies and make them real, not just by promises or by papers or by senior boards. We need real policies. And on the other side, real educational and integration policies, step by step, maybe for a period of 20, 30 years. But determined government, this is what we lack.
Are you concerned at all that there might be a violent response by the Roma to the situation? We've heard about some kind of neighborhood watch groups being established. Is it a beginning of dangerous?
I think you hit a very interesting point of change, because as the extremist movement is just coming up, we see on the side of Roma something what we did not see for a decade. They were not able to organize themselves. They were completely chaotized, in a way involved in business with the poverty. And all of a sudden, we see Roma from other parts of countries coming to defend their friends in those places where extremists are going to organize march, trying in a way to develop certain control, organization, defense, etc., etc. So certain this extreme pressure is producing in a way increased self-determination. This process may really result into having a new Roma leaders, and maybe next parliamentary elections we may see a goddamn gifted Roma politicians entering parliament and articulating interests of this community. But this is something, going again back to United States,
unless Martin Luther King brought 1 million people across the United States to Washington, nothing changed. So we do not have this sort of pressure here. We do not have a representative Roma representation able to declare common interest. And this pressure obviously is pushing Roma leaders into some real business of organizing themselves and looking for certain representation. There were new attempts to develop representation. We will see how far we can get in this direction.
I think that there is a definitely space for this kind of growth of the unification of Roma or having this common interest. Maybe this is a turning point that will kind of give the strength to the Roma in pushing for concrete actions.
Great. Ms. Rubá, would you like to add anything?
Well, maybe I would like to say what I personally appreciate about this monitoring or protective groups is that, as I understood, these people are going to monitor the events and to collect the evidence from the events, because the state authorities absolutely failed when collecting evidence and argumentation for the proposal to the highest administrative court for dissolution of the Workers' Party. So I perceive it as a very brave and clever and sophisticated punch to the face of the state authorities.
Well, we'll see on Sunday how many people will show up to support the Romanis against the rise of extremism in the Czech Republic. That's all we have time for in our special program on the Romani community here on Radio Prague. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in today's program, or if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. For now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye. Dělej pohyby, vystučet tím bílým barevným, kámo, co já?